Good morning, Trinity. Welcome. It's starting to warm up. But I'm still, when I shook hands at the beginning of the service, before we started walking people in to the doors, I still noticed some of your hands are cold. So I'd like to have you at this time be aware of a few things, and then we'll get you warmed up here. There are two collared cards inside of the pew racks, just in front of you, on the left side of the hymnals and the Bibles. One of them is for prayer request. And if you have a prayer request, like you're having a wedding on Tuesday at 9 o'clock or something like that, make sure and fill that out and give that to the usher. Also, for our visitors and our members alike, we ask that you would take a second to fill the other card out. That is a card for our members to fill out as well as our visitors. We'd like to ask you, if you have a special need, you'd like to have us connect with you in some way, that's an opportunity for you to indicate that on that card and to let us know you are here. God's blessings as we worship the Lord together today. We have our choir up above and a beautiful cantata. You're going to enjoy this so much. But without beginning yet, I'd like to have you stand and welcome one another and to warm each other's hands. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Lord and Savior Jesus, may this message delivered in music and song be inspiring to each of us this day. We thank you for those who have volunteered to serve us in this capacity. And we ask, O Lord, that you would prepare in our hearts as hearers the message of music and later in the message of the sermon. So, Lord, may you bless these words and may you bless those who are giving them. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Every year, we celebrate a birth that was foretold long ago by Old Testament prophets, the birth of Jesus, the Son of God made flesh, the baby that was and is our Savior. Although this baby became known as the King of Kings, his birth was not announced to kings and rulers. Instead, God sent his angels to shepherds, humble men who were tending their sheep.
Glory to God in the highest. He saw.
The shepherds rejoiced and went with haste, led by the star, to see their newborn king. They were the first to see the baby and the first to spread the good news. Far away in the east, wise men saw the star that had been prophesied, and they made the long journey to find and worship the baby, the King of the Jews. We do not know the names of the wise men, or even how many there were, but we do know that when they followed the star and found the baby Jesus, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. We know, too, the events leading up to the baby's birth, how the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary to tell her the unexpected and amazing message that she would be the mother of God's Son, and how the angel Gabriel appeared also to Joseph to tell him that the baby Mary was carrying would be the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Child who was their Lord, although they both were willing.
Jesus, the Son of God, was greater than all of us. But he was born under the lowliest of circumstances. He did not eat with kings and rulers, but with the poor and lonely. The people who sat at his feet were not the wealthy and famous, but humble followers who listened to his teachings and came to know who he was. He was born in the lowliest and most humble of places, a manger. But to those who knew him, he was their Savior and their King of Kings. Jesus, our King of Kings, the wise men of old, having studied the prophecy of a star coming from Jacob and a scepter coming from Israel, traveled far to Bethlehem to find the King of the Jews, so they could worship him and give him their gifts. Today, in seeking our King, Savior and King, we do not have time to travel to Bethlehem to find him. He is with us always. We find him in our worship, in the teachings of the Bible, in baptism and communion, and in our everyday lives, we rejoice just as the wise men did, with hearts filled with love.
Thank you.
As we remember Jesus' birth, we give thanks to God for the priceless gift of his Son, whose sacrifice on the cross assures us of eternal life with him in heaven. We rejoice as our hearts fill with love for Jesus, our Savior and King. Please stand and join us in our hymn of joy and praise. Now we sing, now rejoice.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his own mercy and grace, has given his Son to die for you. And for his sake, he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and their praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray together. O God, by the leading of a star, you made known your only begotten Son to the Gentiles. Lead us who know you by faith to enjoy in heaven the fullness of your divine presence through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be sent upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All these from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which has not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring the light for everyone that is the plan of the mystery, hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known, so the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This is according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel for this appointed Sunday is taken from the book of St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard of this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Here ends the reading of our gospel. You may be seated. Peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon each of you this day. I would like to say for each of you the text for this morning's meditation is going to be somewhat condensed, and it's the sermon notes are there for you in your weekly bulletin. We hope you'll pull those out and follow along, write in some of your answers, and also any of your questions. But we also have pew Bibles located just in front of you if you don't have your own. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. I think it'd be good for us if we could say thank you to our parish choir. Wonderful job. They worked long and hard and showed the love of Christ in so many ways as they prepared to deliver that. So thank you. A special thank you to you. Also, it's, you know, just worthy of note as you heard the beauty of those voices blending together, how together in the body of Christ, Our voices, our hands, our service unto the King of Kings really blend together to carry the load and to do the ministry and to do that which our Lord set forth for us. So I had a young man who said to me, "I'm ready to acolyte today. Can I do it?" And I want to say I was so happy as I heard that, because it showed an eagerness to serve Jesus. And isn't that what it's about? Us wanting to serve Jesus in our own special way, with that which we bring to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Again, parish choir and my young friend, thank you. Our text today is taken from the gospel, or the epistle rather, of Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. And Paul writes, beginning in that verse in Romans chapter 6, 1, he says, "What shall we say then? Are we to sin, continue in sin, that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who have died to sin still live in it?" Really, Paul is asking us the question, do we have a credit card to sin that has no boundaries, no limits, and that we just look to God to continue to forgive us and for us to continue in the same old ways? I think that as each of us look at a new year, I read a sign that said, "With new years come new challenges, but with Jesus it changes everything." I thought that was a wonderful sign with a wonderful message, especially as we look at that which we so often make resolutions for, not doing this anymore and wanting to do some more of this, because we've fallen short and we just realize that we're in need of some changes. But with Jesus, it does change everything. Blessings of baptism are what we're going to be talking about today. But as we begin, we need to understand something. Our shortcomings, our slipping up, our moments of falling into sin, we need to understand it, what sin itself is. In the Old Testament, there's a word called kata. Now, if you went to any of the Disney movies, you might hear, "Kata, kata," one of the bird-like characters. Or if you're just walking through a store with my son, but that's another thing. When we start to think about this word kata, you'll remember it by that funny Disney movie saying, but kata really means nothing more than missing the mark. If you were looking at a target, you know, with a big bullseye in the middle and with outer rings that get bigger and bigger, kata means that we're shooting the arrow and we're hitting the bullseye every time with our life's actions. And our Bible tells us that God is holy, for He, the Lord our God, is holy. We shall be perfect even as He is perfect, holy as even He is holy. The second thing in our outline is that B. What is that word? It's trespass. Don't we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Heavenly Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." What that means is it simply means that there's a boundary, a line where we have crossed over. Something that we have crossed over, that line that God has set. Or we have a boundary issue with someone else that has been crossed over or violated. That too is a definition for sin. And the third definition comes from the Greek word amartia. A-M-A-R-T-I-A. Amartia. Amartia really means that target which we had set out to do, that one thing that we are shooting at, that one thing that is a mark that we're trying to do, we fall short of. That's what amartia means. And so as you start to look at this definition of sin, and we understand that that our Lord and our Savior doesn't measure on the curve with a pass or no pass, doesn't look at our neighbor and say, "Well, at least I'm better than her or him." It doesn't look like that, but our Lord commands and demands so much for us to be perfect. And yet we understand with Paul, as Paul says in Romans, "Who will deliver me from this body of sin and of death? For the wages of sin is death." Now, the second question that I ask in that outline is, what sins do you have in your life that are those that kind of shadow you, that continually come back, that are perennial? You might even call them pet sins. Sin appears so shiny and desirous, but is filled with poison. Like Adam and Eve, when they took that bite of that forbidden fruit in the garden, their eyes were opened. Has that ever happened to you when you understood the thing that you thought was going to be so good and would just change everything in a special way and life would be so much better, only to find out that it was filled with poison, that it did change everything, but not for the better? It may be a word that we let it slip out at an impassioned moment, only to find out how deeply that word hurt somebody or destroyed their dignity and self-worth. It may be like overeating at the holidays, only to find out now that there's more of us to drag around for the rest of the year. It may be bucking authority at work, violating the fourth commandment, I might add, or separating, silencing our spiritual life from our work life and saying, oh, I'm going to do that church stuff just on Sundays. Sin comes in all sizes and all shapes, and it is something that we need to understand that is the bottom line, is that it is addictive, but it's also deadly. In fact, that we understand that we have sins of omission, things that we omit doing that we should do, and we have sins of commission, that we commit things that we shouldn't do. Worst part is, we cannot not sin. We are born in sin, the scripture tells us. It's part of our human nature. We call it original sin. Sin, in other words, sin that is because of our first parents, Adam and Eve. Would that changed everything in the garden as they fell into sin? Their offspring could not help themselves. Their offsprings were now sinners that were those who would be sinners, not because of what they had done, but rather because who they were. Sinning is in our DNA, our fiber of our flesh, our humanity, are all wrapped up in it from birth. Yes, Paul says, who can deliver us from this body of death? But in the very next word he says, thanks be to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. The blessing of our baptism. We have seen several baptisms here since we've begun just a couple of months ago. We've been blessed to see that. As people are joining the family of God, what God is doing is shaping and molding them. But here in Paul's words right now, what baptism does. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that we too might walk in newness of life. How do you deal with your sin in your life? My friends, it begins by looking at our baptisms and what God is doing. In our baptism, we understand that we are baptized into Christ's death. We are cemented, we are fused, we become one with Christ in his death. Why did he die? He died to pay for the sins of the world. The weight of the world's sins were upon his shoulders. It wasn't just the Calvary's cross that he carried. It was the weight of your sins and mine. And Christ, as he carried that weight, was putting to death sin itself. And the death he died to pay for those sins, yours and mine's. The dead, my friends, cease to continue in sin. And as you and I start to understand our oneness with Christ in baptism, we understand that we are being crucified in the flesh. We understand that we are dying in the flesh to this thing called sin. Luther calls it a drowning of the old Adam. Not only the sinful acts, but actually the original of the DNA or the original sin that programs us to sin is being put to death daily. We have died to sin. We're no longer slaves of sin, Paul says, but rather live in the power of Christ's resurrection. We're slaves now of righteousness. In our baptism, we also see as Jesus Christ was raised from death to life, that we are now raised to walk in newness of life. Paul put it this way, the fifth point on our outline, we are united with Christ in a death like his and in a resurrection like his. Can you imagine the raw power that God used to raise Christ from death to life? That's what's at work in your life. To put to death sin on one hand, and at the same time raising you from spiritual death to spiritual life so that you and I might truly walk in newness of life, to be set free from sin and to live for Christ. Our union with Christ in baptism is so very powerful that you and I must understand that our bodies of sin are brought to nothing, according to Paul's words, so that we're no longer enslaved to sin. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, Paul says, has been raised from the dead. We'll never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, he died once for all. But the life he lives to God. In our summary, we're baptized in him. I die with him. And now, I live with him. But I also live for him. And I walk in newness of life. You know, you and I, as we struggle with sins, we need to understand what God gives us in our baptisms. We need to see that the Holy Spirit is at work to drown the old Adam daily. And we need to understand that the Spirit of God Almighty, that raw resurrection power, is at work in you to stir up in you a strength to resist those sins and a strength to be able to walk and live for Christ in newness of life. And now may the power of God and the peace of God be at work in you freely and abundantly as you leave this place to go and engage in your newness of life to a world that desperately needs it. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all of the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, ever more praising you and singing. pray. Lord and Savior Jesus, we give you thanks, for in our holy baptisms you washed us, regenerate us, and make us new. We ask you, O Lord, to be inspiring and instill in us the stirring of your Spirit this day and every day of our life, that help us to be freed from the slavery to sin, to drown the old Adam, and for us to be reunited and united and resurrected with the power of Christ's resurrection to walk in newness of life. Help us, O Lord, as we seek to do this. Help us to live a life that is worthy of your calling, and help us to be beacons of hope, of love, of forgiveness. Help us, O Lord, as we, as your children, live to serve you. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord and Savior, we ask that you would bless the leaders, pastor and teacher of this congregation, to be diligent in their service to you, to be wise in the decisions that they make, the directions that we lead this congregation and church and school in. Lord, may you grant us your wisdom. May you grant us your strength. And may you grant us the ability to carry out that which you've called us to do. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we also pray for the decisions that are before this congregation in the days that lie ahead. And we ask, O Lord, that you would again grant the congregation wisdom and strength to empower them with wisdom from you, and that the directions and decisions that are made would be your decisions for your church, and that you will bless abundantly so. O Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, we pray that you would hear the prayers of those that have been requested.
Heavenly Father, the congregation raises the following names in prayers of petition, supplication, and thanksgiving. We pray for a man, David. We pray for healing and strength as he battles various ailments. Keep him strong in his faith and give his family patience as they assist him. We pray for Alyssa as she recovers from surgery. Give her health and healing, and continue to place your healing hand on her. We pray for Yuritsa as she undergoes cancer treatment. We ask for your healing hand on her as well, and give her comfort through her treatments, and restore her to full health. Lord, we pray for all students returning to school now in this new year. And we pray for safe travels as those that travel back to college. And we ask them for you to help them to focus on their studies, but on you as well in this new year. And a prayer of thanksgiving for the marriage of Adam and Megan this coming Tuesday. We ask your blessing on the day, and that all might go well, but most of all on their marriage, that it might be one of wonder and praise. And these things we pray, Lord, in your mercy.
And now we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had broken it, he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given into death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, in the same manner, after he had taken the cup and had supped, he blessed it, and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. As often as you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you and I, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
thank the Lord.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. You may be seated.
Good morning, Trinity. We have a list of announcements here. We'll try to go through them kind of quickly. Many dates to remember. Beginning tomorrow, we have our town hall meeting here in the sanctuary at 6:30. This is a very important meeting to discuss church business. So please plan to attend. A lot of properties items are going to be discussed. On the 14th, we have our regular voters meeting to follow up with the campus planning and regularly scheduled reports and business. Then on the 20th, we have a prep meeting for those who are interested in participating in the Saturday Servant Saturday event. On the 21st, we begin our donuts and devotions and Bible study for the youth, middle school and high school youth, and that's at 9:30 on Sunday, beginning the 21st. Then next on the screen is VBS, the 28th. We have preparation for our summer VBS. Pre-planning meeting is happening January 28th, meeting for all those who may be interested in serving as volunteers. Okay, Sunday the 28th, we have a car wash by our Trinity Middle School youth to raise funds for their field trip to Washington, D.C. Okay, and then I guess the other one that was on here is on the 27th itself is Trinity Servant Saturday at Redeeming Life Outreach Ministries. So with no other further announcements.
Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.